This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, stop the song,
yeah,
right?
We don't
stop
do the song for this
stop
one.
The song.
So normally what we would do is we would tell a story.
This has been a part of the show for a long time that we start the show by telling a story over the song. Mm-hmm. Used to be like a beloved section of the show that people enjoyed. We ran out of stories to tell and things to say a
now
long
it's
time
a very,
ago.
It's a rote exercise.
Yeah.
So one thing for this episode, there's a lot we want to do for this episode, but one thing we wanted to do was get some help from you. You tell stories, is that correct? You're a storyteller?
I mean, I write them.
Effectively mm-hmm. a legend of both printed and spoken word, is that...
Yeah, I don't like. I would never do like a moth or anything like that. You know, when people just
you think have the moth to, sucks. David. You have to do a moth.
Shots fired at the moth. I wouldn't want to be the moth right now.
You must do the moth.
I've never seen the moth either. Have you ever seen the moth?
I saw the Mothman Prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this film with Richard Gere?
The Mothman Prophecies.
Yes. Do you recall this film?
And that's a story.
And that was a story.
Huh.
A legend passed down through time of the killer Mothman. And Richard Gere was investigating it in the film. But that's, I guess, not the moth that you meant, which is fine. I haven't seen it, but I have heard.
I meant gentle cousin of the butterfly.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. You think the moth is gentler than the butterfly, and the butterfly is the aggressive, nasty cousin.
That the pretty colors have given a reputation, perhaps,
moth.
For being a sweetheart.
Well, what's interesting is where I live in England, in the south of England.
Okay.
The south.
In the summertime.
The English Riviera.
In the late summer, butterflies come into the house,
mm-hmm.
and they hide in the rafters, mm-hmm. and they become dormant. And then when you turn the heat on in the winter, they kind of
they
come
attack.
Back to life, mm-hmm. and they try to get out the windows. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have butterflies and flies plastered against all the windows trying to get out. And you let them out and they're just going to die because it's too cold for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 minutes later, you have a whole new group there.
Mm. Okay.
And that's what...
Seasons.
But and then the moth... To me, the moth is not gentle. You see I'm wearing a sweater. I'm moth bait, baby. I mean, they would really go at this pretty aggressively.
Do you have moth problems here?
I do.
You do?
Unfortunately, I do.
Oh, in England,
I have
awful.
To be honest.
And you know what else they like? They like taxidermy.
Mm, they like it.
And they'll lay their eggs in the taxidermy and completely destroy.
What are we talking?
And the taxidermy will begin to come to
no,
life.
No, let's compare collections. Let's
okay.
compare collections. Mm-hmm. What are you working with in your place? What kind of taxidermy are we talking?
Game hen?
Well, I had a chipmunk that my sister gave me, mm-hmm. and I was getting ready to leave town for a couple months,
mm-hmm.
and I had it in a cabinet, and I just looked in the cabinet, and I saw a worm drop out of it.
Wow.
And so I put a bell jar over it, and I came back 2 months later, and all the fur was gone, and it just looked like it was made out of white leather.
Mm.
And then holes started to appear in the leather. And anyway, moths and their larvae completely destroyed this taxidermy.
Oh, it's like something out of the Mothman Prophecy.
Just the one chipmunk you have?
Mm-mm.
You got a lot more stuff.
Three?
Yeah, I have other things.
Okay. I have a lot of dogs.
Taxidermy dogs?
A lot of them.
I have a little Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay.
In a case. And normally I wouldn't name
it. In a case?
Yeah, we named it Casey. Normally we wouldn't name things like that, but he's sitting on a little piece of carpet.
Uh-huh.
He's probably 80 years old, and he's just waiting for his master to return. And he has mournful eyes. And we have some puppies.
Mm.
And they were Victorian. So they would take the puppies and drown them and then stuff them.
Yes.
And put them in these shadow box, you know, little environments and put them in a box.
Like
and,
a diorama.
Acting out scenes from, I guess, what kind of, what are some of the great Victorian drama? Is there anything?
These just look like they're in a kind of an old kennel, you know, with like a prison. Actually, they look like they're in a dog prison.
Mm-hmm. I have many versions of the noble bug, the mighty beetle, the stag beetle, and I have these preserved, and they're put into scenes as well, but they're usually doing human activities.
Mm-hmm.
So the bug might be reading a speech at a podium, or the bug might be sitting down to enjoy his cereal, and he has his little crooked with a tiny spoon put into his pincer.
Mm-hmm.
These are my taxidermy. I don't have anything with fur because I do not want the moth problems that you described.
Well, another thing, there was this guy who had a Victorian guy who did these elaborate taxidermy scenes, and he had like a guinea pig classroom, and there were like 25 guinea pigs in a classroom, and there was a stern teacher, and there was, you know, the lazy student and the student with his hand raised, and they did a kitten wedding.
Okay.
So from this guy, he had a museum, and then they dismantled the museum because people weren't interested anymore. And Damien Hirst, the artist, bought a lot of the stuff, but I found squirrels sword fighting. And so I own that.
Mm. I used to have kittens smoking in the boys' room. A couple bad kittens, leather jackets on, kicked back. You know it's between class, and you know that the bell has already rung.
I would love to talk taxidermy.
I would too.
All day.
I would too.
We have to introduce our
guest. And already
we're
getting into story. Sorry, our guest, of course, is David Sedaris.
Who's
the many books.
Yes. You have written about
many
being colleagues with Santa Claus, going to France, going to Tokyo, and many other things. Is this correct? And speak on this.
Growing
up, that's correct.
Growing up, growing up.
Part of the story.
Growing old.
Mm.
Growing, growing heavy.
Can happen.
Written about.
Yeah. But you're also famous for you write these things and then you say them as well, which many of your peers
too afraid.
Dean Koontz, another like legend of the printed word. Nobody wants to hear him say these books,
well,
but you say them.
Well, I think part of it is like I would never go to a theater and read something that's an hour long. Because then if you're in the audience, you're not really into it, and you're just kind of stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read maybe eight things.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't believe in, like, reading part of something.
Mm-hmm.
But I just write short things.
Well, you know, essays.
I have a 12-page attention span.
Do you know that I've seen you at the theater?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is a bit of gotcha journalism, in fact. Do you call going to the Ridgewood Playhouse around 2005?
In Ridgewood, Connecticut?
Yes, correct.
That is funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was just back at the Ridgewood Playhouse a couple months ago.
Has it changed since our time we spent there?
Not a bit.
Well, that's good because if it ain't broke,
wow,
don't fix it. Yeah, we were there. I believe I was wearing sort of a unique blazer and you complimented me on it. I got my book signed. I was with my sister. We saw some deer on the way home.
Did I know it was your sister?
Maybe we talked about your sister a bit as well.
I always love it when people come with their brother or sister.
Yeah.
It's the sweetest thing.
Yeah. It was a family affair.
When families do things together.
Yeah. That's the last thing we probably did together.
Really?
Yeah. Around 2005. But it was good. We don't want to spoil it by trying to do something else.
They called it off after that.
We just
Where do we go
saw
here?
A deer on the way home, which was pretty exciting. Then we parked, shook hands, and went our separate ways.
That's how you do it.
But we'll always have the Ridgewood Playhouse.
You don't wait for it to just like peter out after that. You just say, we've had a great brother-sister thing.
Hell of a run. You end on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is interesting possibly for, you mentioned you were doing Kimmel tonight. Mm. If you really score, like if you say something that just lands hard, just stand up and walk
just
off the
leave.
Couch.
Leave.
Yes. Just leave. Leave them wanting more.
I wonder, anyways, do you think anyone's ever done that? Just gotten up and walked off?
But this
I mean, you'd be a legend, man. Yeah. If they haven't, even better.
And I was wondering, too, do you think anyone's ever vomited or on passed stage? Out on a show like that? No, on a talk show like that.
Almost everyone does.
Mm. Certainly, I've seen them get the host be vomited on by various funny animals.
Mm-hmm.
But it must, I mean, given the amount of talk shows, mm-hmm. the amount of guests.
Somebody must have thrown
somebody
up.
Somebody must.
Well, no, they.
Well, especially on Kimmel, where they used to have an open bar.
Or shit in their pants, maybe. Mm-hmm.
They may have gone to the bathroom.
It's actually like they cut it out, but it's rude if you don't do it.
Like, it makes the host feel powerful. Yeah. For you to go and shit on the couch, and they'll edit it, or they'll at least cover the noise up a little bit with like Jimmy coughing. But they will, if you don't do it, they sort of feel like, oh, this guy doesn't think I'm anything.
Somebody showed me a little video clip yesterday. Mm. It was Whoopi Goldberg on The View. Mm-hmm. And she farted on The View.
And they just left that right in there. Huh?
And then she owned up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have pretended it was a chair noise or something. I never would have admitted it. But I
well,
thought,
the cushion that bears her name is perhaps an indication that she's very proud of that sound. Yeah, I mean, she's lining her own pockets because that's moving units to see her do it on The View. It's really free advertising.
Let's talk about the master's class.
Mm,
yes.
And we're here.
We've
arrived at the main premise.
You've done this.
I did a master class.
Mm-hmm.
It is on the satirical art.
It's on
and
essay
practice.
And truth.
The
book.
I think humor and storytelling.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
And I impart some wisdom.
Now,
oh, you do?
Yep.
Now, we want people to buy the cow, so let's not give them too much milk, but maybe just a drop.
What's one little?
One milk.
Just one nug.
Okay, try this on for size.
Sticky nug.
If you want to be a writer.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Write.
I disagree.
Write no matter what.
I disagree with
writers
that.
Writers write. They love to write.
If you have a cut on your finger.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Go ahead and write. Write about the cut.
If your hand's in
use
a cast,
the blood.
Right.
Write with the cast. Write on the cast. Sign your name on
you know
the
what?
Cast.
If you're in a wheelchair and you can't do anything from your chin down,
mm-hmm.
write with a chopstick with your in your mouth.
The uh-huh. sessions.
Write on the cast. Draw this to CS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do whatever it takes.
But, you know, you meet a lot of people who say, oh, if I had time or I want to write. But, you know, you make the time. If you for what you want to do.
If you want to, yeah.
Am I wrong?
I think so, yeah.
Hayes thinks you're wrong, and I'd love to hear his side of it, because, frankly, I've known Hayes a lot longer, and I trust him.
So, all you have to do is say that you're doing it. Mm. You don't have to actually do it.
Yes.
I say to everyone I'm a writer.
I'm working on something. I'm actually
I don't do anything.
It's getting really good.
Did you go to college?
No, not particularly.
You didn't?
No.
Well, it's not college per se. It's like it's sort of a different.
Yeah. I wouldn't think of it as just a college.
It's a little, I don't know. You want to just describe it?
It's a little castle in Boston.
Ah.
But like, it's not like you wouldn't say like, oh, I went to college. Like it's a little different from that.
You would
say you went to Harvard.
Well, I don't like to say it that way.
He matriculated. He wouldn't say he went there.
That absolutely kills me.
He matriculated.
Everyone I know who went to Harvard, did you go to school? Yeah, I went to school in Massachusetts.
Oh, you said
some
it.
Little,
yeah,
some little castle in Boston.
Oh, brother.
I say, I lived in a castle in Boston, and me and all my friends just made each other laugh, and we wrote all the funniest ideas in the world, and we're making fun of everything.
But what's wrong with saying I went to Harvard? Like, if I went to Harvard.
I wouldn't know. I've never said it.
I would say it.
Yeah. You would say,
yeah.
If I went to Yale, I would say, I went to Yale, and I would mm-hmm. feel pretty good about it. And I would say, you know what? I went to Princeton.
You'd say, me and all my cronies, we give each other jobs.
No, I
and
wouldn't
just
feel
live it up.
I wouldn't feel guilty about it.
No, you. I'm not saying to feel guilty about it.
I don't think it's fair to feel guilty about something that so many people would like to do, and then you do it, and then you feel, oh, bad and guilty and ashamed about it.
Hey, are you hearing
this?
That's
just some old bullshit.
No, I agree. I mean, like, there's no. Like the fact that you took a spot of a more deserving person. because of factors totally unrelated to like your ability
systemic,
or like just general
like,
merit
issues. Yeah,
yeah.
In the country at large,
of hundreds of years of racism,
yeah, for historical starters. Oppression.
Thank
and
you.
And it's making me bored, and I'm bored. Please, come on. We gave the Oscar to Parasite. That's fixed.
That's a big one. Did you say that in the masterclass? That's a big one, too. Go to Harvard.
No, I didn't
that's
say
sound
that
advice.
Humor and storytelling. I mean, she probably should have started with that.
Mm-hmm. Lampoon everything.
I'm an honorary member.
Is that so?
Of the Harvard Lampoon.
You go mix it up with the boys in the castle?
Of the Hasty Pudding Club.
Oh,
yes, and I have seen that. I have seen that
show. And I didn't go. I didn't go to college there.
Mm-mm, that's what honorary, yeah.
And you know what? I'll tell you something else. Mm. I gave the graduation speech at Princeton. Take that.
Oh, okay. Wow. And sticking it to them.
Yep.
And you didn't go there either.
Didn't go to the eating club.
Didn't go there either.
Where'd you go?
I went to the, Western Carolina University in Colowee, North Carolina. And then I went to Kent State for a year. Mm. And then I went to the Art Institute of Chicago.
Mm. Nice.
And anyone can get into any of those schools.
Mm. That's a museum.
The School of the Art Institute of Chicago. So it's like a school that's attached to the museum.
I've been there. I don't really think it is.
And he's actually been there. So
there's some classrooms attached to the museum.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't remember seeing that. Are you talking about the apple head?
It's in the back.
The guy whose head is an apple? He's not. Okay. I don't know how much you paid to go there, but the guy whose head is an apple is not a teacher.
He's not a teacher.
Oh, that Magritte painting is not a teacher.
That is no. That's not a teacher. It's just a painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand and you do that buy like, a apple for teacher is like a whole thing.
Yeah. So you buy
like,
a ticket.
Oh, this must be the best teacher. He got so many apples, his head became one.
Yes.
But I do think that somebody took you for a ride. Unfortunately.
Well,
you're making
you
it
know,
work.
If I had to draw your picture and I had to try as hard as I could, it would look like one of those really bad police sketches.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never particularly talented, but they let me in.
Yeah.
And
well, congratulations. And here you are now, your teacher, aren't you?
And now I'm
because
a teacher.
You're teaching the master class. Yep. And the master class.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Give us one other.
Just a little milk.
A little,
kind of
grind it up.
All right. When you're... when your book comes out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Jump back at this. Okay. We skipped a little bit, but that's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're a writer.
I like the confidence.
And then you write a book. And then when your book comes out and you go to a bookstore to do a reading of your book, write them a thank you letter.
The bookstore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And leave it in the book. It's a secret.
And then.
No. Okay.
No. Mail it to them.
Okay.
A little tip.
And then Troy, who works there, is maybe slipping a little recommended tag under
suddenly,
the book.
Suddenly, you're popping up.
And it's like a little hand-drawn sketch of Troy. And he's like, oh, I never laughed. Like the spat my milk everywhere. Laughed so hard.
Losing it.
Well, sometimes you go back to the bookstore and they say, oh, we have the postcard you sent us last time. And then it's pinned to a wall in the employee break room with other things on top of it.
No. Oh, right, yeah. Guitar lessons and stuff. Lost Dog poster.
It's supposed to be out in front. What are any bookstores?
Best that, bookstore, go.
Yeah.
Best bookstore, rank them.
Harvard bookstore.
Number one. That's easy.
I was at the Harvard bookstore once. I was signing books one time, and this woman came up. And I said, when was the last time you touched a monkey? And she said, and it was just a stupid question. And she said,
Dieter,
can you smell it on me? And she worked for a place that's right outside of Boston that trains monkeys to act as servants for quadriplegics.
Mm. Oh.
And it was crazy.
Helper monkey.
It was crazy. And so she invited me to the center. So I went to the center.
Yeah.
And I was in a room with like 12 capuchin monkeys. They pull all their teeth out so they can't bite quadriplegics. And then I did a benefit for them. And they said, anytime you want a monkey, just let us know. So I went to the Harvard bookstore and I said, I wouldn't like a monkey. Mm. And one of the things the monkeys are trying to do is turn pages in a book, because if you're paralyzed, you can't do that.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was at the podium, and then the monkey was with me, and then she pulled a book off the shelf, and she was turning pages in the book, and it looked like she could read. Mm. And it, no one paid any attention to me.
This is where it's
such
like,
a mistake.
All this, this new technology about like being able to whatever use your eyes to like turn the page of an electronic book or something. Why don't we just go back to the old ways? Have monkeys
just
do
just take
it.
The monkey's teeth out and put them on the book.
Monkeys like, in diapers.
Yeah, like why do we have to improve on this system? It was working great.
If you get a real monkey. Writer, you hire a monkey with no teeth to write. It's like so obvious. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to fix it. Like, yeah. I'll get a robot. It's like, I'm sorry, we already have monkeys. So that is frustrating. You meet so many interesting people, David. And are you just a magnet for this?
That's a lesson, really, is like if someone invites you to go to another location in the book signing line, you have to go.
Yeah. If they say, hey, I work inside a secret laboratory, you go with them immediately.
You have to convert that sale.
Well, have you spent much time with a monkey?
Me personally? Mm-hmm. I got this big hairy ape over here to my right. Engineer Brett.
Guilty this is Engineer choice. Brett.
Yeah.
Very nice to meet you.
Up to quite a bit of monkey shines.
Because I was asking people at book signings, you know, if they and I would love to hear from people who have owned monkey. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it used to be, and it's not this way now, but you could buy a monkey in the mail, and a monkey, a living monkey, would be sent to your house. Mm-hmm. You know what? The box would have breathing holes in and stuff. But I met this woman, and she had a monkey, and it climbed up an electrical pole, and then it got electrocuted, and the pole fell over onto her donkey, and the donkey was named Jackpot. So she lost her monkey and her donkey in the same incident.
This was in a book signing line?
Yeah.
I can just picture the person behind this conversation who's like, well, I got to make something up really fast. Like, my story sucks.
But all the monkey stories had tragic endings.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and such is life.
It's just not a good idea.
Comedy is just monkeys plus time.
But it's like that. Don't you think it's like that with – it's the same with people who have raccoons or – you know, when it's a baby, it's
yeah, those mail order raccoons too. You remember those?
Well, then it gets to be breeding age and then it just – everything changes.
And then it becomes –
yes, it becomes
about
sex. Completely different. The personality completely changes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They become too horny to maintain as pets. It's just a fact of raccoon life. Mm-hmm. I think – the solution really is you go to them. Mm. We're bringing these raccoons into our homes.
Mail
and
yourself.
Go live like us.
Mail yourself to
mail
them.
Mail yourself to the raccoon. That is when we'll really learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn how to tell a story for the top of the show.
We still haven't done yet. That's usually how the show begins. So the show has not actually started.
Technically, the show hasn't started, which you've got a lot of time. Is that correct?
You're
enjoying yourself.
Oh my goodness!
Doing Richter after this?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Andy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got anything you're saving up for him? Something you don't want to give to us because you're saving it for Andy?
Oh yeah, a lot.
Okay. I can feel you holding back.
It would be helpful to us.
I'm going to tell you. Here's my 2 cents worth.
Hit me.
You have to stop talking at the same time. You're going to tell a story, either one of you does it or the other.
Which one? Yeah. Which one?
Please
though.
Pick.
But when two people are doing
but
it
which
at the same
one?
Time.
But you have to pick.
Well, he went to Harvard, so I'd say him.
Okay.
He's more qualified.
Yeah. You studied. And where did you go again? Second City Training School.
I'm totally. I put myself through Second City.
Oh, really? In Chicago?
Uh-huh.
What year?
What year, boy? I was 99 to 07.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did the...
Because my sister Amy was there. So I was there. I mean, I would go see her and everything.
She, like, I think, did...
85 to 90?
She did, I guess, just like doing shows there and stuff. I feel like she didn't like really study there. She was just kind of like performing and like kind of screwing around.
Performing and writing and doing,
she took classes
cracking
there.
Cracking people up. Yeah.
And then she was in the touring company and then she was on main stage.
Right. He's had more of like a Karate Kid style training. Yeah.
Where he was like cleaning the chairs and yeah, making the concessions and all that stuff. And
was
he
Joyce
worked his way up.
When you were there?
Joyce, yeah. Oh, God, love Joyce.
Joyce was one of the main. I've heard so much about Joyce from him.
Oh, Joyce.
And everyone who ever went there could imitate Joyce.
Oh, and I,
and no exception like here. And wait until you hear the Joyce come
okay,
out.
Okay, okay, right.
And Hayes was leaving and Joyce is coming in.
So Joyce comes in and like first thing in the morning, every morning. So Joyce comes in, what's up? And do you know, like, do you not know her?
Yeah, but this doesn't sound like her at all.
Not, the impressions weren't his main also class that he took.
We know this woman in Japan, and she does imitations of people. Like, she'll imitate her husband. Oh, you have thick toast. I like my toast thin. Oh, I don't like thick toast. And it doesn't sound like anything like him. And then we'll say, oh, do this person. Do Hugh. Oh, I went shopping. I like go shopping.
Everyone's so mad.
Hollywood Handbook.
Well, we're talking about Harry's, and it's Clean Harry is here with us again today.
Sort of.
It has been a minute since we've caught up, and it sounds like you have some things that are.
It's just not going good. My mind's just on other stuff, punk.
It's often when we talk about you, it's you're bringing in a lot of things from the outside, from your life. There's just always seems like there's a lot going on.
Well, okay, you know how cats can give you like a sort of disease that makes you like cats?
Yes, yeah.
I have it. Punk.
You have the disease that comes from their litter. Do you have cats?
I will soon now because
of
this.
So you don't have cats?
No, but I'm Clean Harry, so I'm always cleaning things up. So anytime I go to someone's house with cats, I'm like, I'll clean that up.
You scoop the cat litter.
I get way in there, you know, to clean.
And so you did that from cleaning the cat litter at your friend's house. So you're going and seeing your friends.
Well, and I would go and take a big whiff after to be like, did I do a good enough scoop that it, like, there's no, like, scent left?
Okay.
And I think I just... guess I inhaled the cat disease that like makes your brain like want to have more cats.
It's called toxoplasmosis. And so you know that you have this and
Gesundheit.
That doesn't sound like a sneeze at all. That sounded like a sneeze to you. That's what a sneeze sounds like.
I'm just trying to bring some lightness to what has been a very heavy week for me. I just found out I have toxoplasmosis, for goodness sake. Gesundheit. Bonk.
Harry saw customers getting screwed over by questionable overpriced shaving products and decided to do something better. Instead of charging the same stupid high prices, Harry's found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of other big brands. Exceptional products, honest prices. That's Harry's. So are you going to get, I'm just like, so you're going to get some cats.
Right from here, yeah. Going to get cats, yeah. Okay.
The shaving products, deodorant, lotion, body wash, hair gel, it's not just shaving, but they do have shaving stuff. German engineer blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. Getting ripped off isn't funny. How many cats are you going to get?
6 or 7. Well, actually... 6 to start, but if I get 7, I'll probably get 8 because they're sisters. The other ones. The other ones that I'm not getting today, I don't think.
Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. That's harrys.com/theboys for a $3 trial set.
Hey, word to the wise, smell Harry's shampoo and stuff. Don't smell a glitter box.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate moms in your life and to trip their ass out, freak them out, make them feel like they're sipping some wavy gravy? Check out this idea I just had. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving one as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos, which I did. And the photos that I preloaded are a photo of an Aura frame inside the Aura frame. And inside that one, there's a photo of an Aura frame with a photo. So I uploaded this. So basically, when mom opens the gift, she's going to be sucked into the world of M.C. Escher and forever lost on some magnificent journey of the mind. And it's like, this is more than a gift. It's an experience. Aura frames, thanks for freaking my bean, please.
Oh, no. Like, my mom's a square. She doesn't like to trip out, get freaky like that. Bro, you have no idea.
I hate to tell you, mama had a whole life before she had you, pal.
Yes.
No, 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 no. Mom gets freaky with it. So I think, you know, grandmothers, new mothers. Oh, wait, grandma, she would never be able to do this. Your grandma, your grandma does drugs, okay? So for grandmas, moms, aunts, even friends, but less so them, more grandma, everyone loves an Aura frame. Freak their damn bean with the frame inside the frame inside the frame. It's infinity. It's everything. It's the universe in a single gift. There's no greater gift. They're guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages and to send them questioning the very nature of existence. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had a subscription. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all
in. Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hollywood Handbook.
Now, it's interesting you talked about your sister going to Second City. When I met you in Ridgewood in 2005, I said, I've just started classes at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. And you said, oh, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I said, your sister does shows there. And you said, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I have never heard of that.
No, she didn't do shows there.
She has done a show there.
Amy at Upright Citizens? She was never
She's done a
UCB.
Performance there. No.
Really? But. You know, I was there 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
In New York, because I have a young friend.
I'm one of the main guys.
Who took classes there,
and it was his Improv 101.
And you went to his Improv 101 show?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's nice. Did anyone recognize you?
No.
Minnie Driver was at my Improv 101 show.
Who?
Minnie Driver. Yep.
A Minnie Driver was at your Improv 101 show?
And not just a driver of a Mini Cooper like Paul F. Tompkins, but in fact... Minnie from About a Boy, the TV show. Mm.
Hook, hook, dunk, dunk. Remember she said that?
Good Will Hunting?
We saw her in a lot of things.
Circle of Friends.
We sure did. Mm-hmm. We sure did.
We've seen her. Speechless.
And she was at your show. Did she come to see you or she...
ultimately, you know, technically, yes. She did come and she did see me. So she came to see me. Was that her intention when she left the house? Certainly not.
Do you see a lot of stars? Like who was the last star you saw?
Star.
Just trying to think. So many. I'm seeing so many of them.
And it would help to know who you consider a star.
Is Patrick Warburton a star?
I don't know who that is.
Okay, I haven't seen him. It's just like an example of where the line is. So no, it sounds like no. Putty from Seinfeld. Rules of Engagement. Not a star. Let's find it. Anne Heche.
We're going to zero in.
Yeah. She would count.
Okay, yeah. So let's go. So that's too high. So it's somewhere in between Patrick Warburton and Anne Heche.
Okay.
That might be the line.
The last person I saw, and it was in New York, was Anna Wintour.
Okay.
And I saw her on the street, and I thought, wow, that person looks just like Anna Wintour.
And then I went into
this store that she'd come out of, and I said, was that Anna Wintour? And they said, yeah, she comes in here all the time. Yeah. That counts.
She's a celebrity.
She did a master class.
Mm. Ah. Have you watched a lot of the master class?
Yeah, you never did James Corden?
Mm-mm.
When you do that... The thing to do is get so like he'll be offended if you don't get so nervous that you sneeze and like a lot of snot comes out.
And 6 or 7 sneezes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Just every time it seems as though you've recovered and we're about to get back into the show, you hit him with a big achoo. And that, I think, wins him over in this way where it's like he feels sorry for you. You seem to be very sick, of course, so he keeps his distance a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can talk about whatever, because it's like broken the tension.
And crying, obviously. Did you ever cry a lot?
Did you ever break a rib or fracture a rib?
Me? Not my own.
So this is actually...
Keep pushing me, Brett.
I think it feels really good to sneeze. Mm-hmm. But if you have a broken rib, got it.
Forget
it. I love sneezing. And it's great, isn't it?
It's fun.
And you know, like sometimes Brett's you can look at the sun and sneeze.
Don't fall for this. It's a blast. He's trying to find like common ground with you.
If you're not driving, he has no idea what you're talking about.
He's always trying to leverage the guest against
us. Let's say we're on an airplane and I'm sitting next to you.
He doesn't know what you're talking about.
He's just pretending.
We're on an airplane and you're next to me and I sneeze. What do you say?
I say, God bless you.
I don't say anything when someone sneezes. And I don't want them to say anything to me.
I say, may God honor you.
I don't
you.
Either. I like Gesundheit.
May God carry you in his gentle arms, I say.
I just don't say, may God forgive you.
I say, God forgives.
You know what I say sometimes when someone sneezes? This is the only thing I ever say.
Mm-hmm.
I have AIDS.
Wow.
Sometimes, yeah, if someone sneezes.
They sneeze on you. Yeah. Okay. No, let them know.
No, just when they sneeze, I say I have AIDS because I want them
to feel better about
themselves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You appear to have a cold.
I have full-blown AIDS. That's what I say when someone sneezes on a plane next to me.
Wow. And that must make them feel really nice.
Mm-hmm. Because they go, oh, here I was feeling bad for myself that I sneezed.
Yeah.
I'm sitting next to a guy with full-blown AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he's sharing.
Yep.
That's cool. That opens it up in a big way. They may respond to you with an uncomfortable truth, perhaps, that they wouldn't normally say to a stranger.
We have to start the show. First of all, it would really help if you would tell Richter what a good experience you had here.
Please, because he's been refusing to do the show.
We've been
get great guests.
Yeah.
We've gotten good people.
If you could tell them that you had fun and that we didn't talk at the same time. And then it wasn't sort of a wall of smarm.
Smarm's not the right word.
Okay. Oh, I'd love to hear what it is.
Someone said it's like being in a car crash. It would be great if you told him it's like not
like
being
a car crash. Yes. Like it's being in a safe car.
I think it's like being in a vacuum cleaner bag while somebody is vacuuming a room that lots of cats died in. That's what I think it's like.
Okay.
Like that lots of cats died in like
many
3 years
ago.
3 years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still, so it's not fresh rot, but it's still
diseased fur.
Yeah.
But for you
and bone and flesh.
With your taxidermy collection, this to you is a compliment.
It's a project.
Yeah.
Because then inside the vacuum bag you've got such an activity to put all these cat bones back together.
That's a summer.
So you're welcome for what must be a cherished
experience. We have to begin.
We got to start the show. So, and now, can I ask, before you did your masterclass, did you watch a lot of the other masterclasses?
No, I didn't.
No. Mm. Didn't want to be influenced too heavily.
I will say, it shows, I've seen yours, it does show a little bit. You are facing the wrong way. I think if you had watched some of the other ones, it would. You're not facing in the completely wrong direction.
Yeah.
But definitely like 90 degrees.
It's off center.
Yeah.
Shit.
You're missing and you...
You're not totally in frame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask you, in the other ones, did people have clothes on?
Well, okay, so...
Yes, but different ones from the ones you have on.
Yeah, and it's... And you keep saying like, dear reader.
Because you know like sometimes people, you say something and you don't even realize it's a thing and you're saying it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I listened to a little interview with Tom Perez, right? Head of the Democratic National.
Okay, dropping names.
Tom's a friend.
And he said the word conversation. I bet he said it 20 times in a four-minute interview. Well, I think we need to have a conversation. And I think that's all part of the conversation. I think if we have a conversation about... And if I were the person interviewing, I would stop and I would have said, you have to stop saying conversation.
Well, I mean...
But we all do things.
He's right.
We're not aware that we are doing. Mm. And I guess the way to fix that, like, do you listen to yourself on this podcast?
No, I've tried to avoid it for quite some time.
And someone is usually talking when I'm talking. Yeah. So it's
yeah. It's I can't really hear myself. There's someone else talking. Why?
Well, because I don't ever listen to myself. But maybe it would be maybe I should, and maybe I'd realize.
Were you going to say edifying, and then you thought we might not know the word?
I wasn't sure if I was using it properly is what happened. But I thought maybe there are things that I say.
So like,
because I did an interview, and somebody said, you know, you laughed at everything you said. And I thought, oh, that's the worst. I
never done that. That is the
laugh
greatest
at our own
crime.
Stuff.
We never.
It's one of the worst crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not guilty of that. And it's not something that turns people off about the show. So let's start the show and let's get into, we're going to tell a story. So normally the formula for us has been this. We'll say, we'll be ignoring our guests completely, which I think puts us on a good, powerful level. And we will be saying a story from the past where we were hanging out with some famous celebrity. We'll take a pause between the first and last name. So we might say, I was in a store with Anna Winter. And then we will continue by saying some crazy activity we were doing with them. And then we will totally run out of steam and say, oh God, I pray that the other person says something now because I had nothing else planned. And sometimes they will, and sometimes they won't. And sometimes it helps, but usually even if they do, it doesn't help.
Makes it worse.
Do you think that's a good formula for starting your show?
I think it's awful.
Yeah, it seems. Yes. Yes. And that's what we've been finding.
Terrible idea.
And we've done 300 or something. yeah.
Ugh.
You want to see it?
No.
Okay.
All right.
We do it over the song. Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty bad. So how would you change that?
I would say... I would have like, you have a theme song, right? And I'd play that for like 4 seconds tops. And I'd say, so let's start the show. And I would just start it.
You just say, so let's start the show. You're saying that to the song.
Let's start the show. And then I'd each of you, I'd put a little note that said, don't talk while the other person's talking. And don't be ashamed.
You are us in this case, though.
Don't be ashamed of my accomplishments. I would put that down.
Okay.
Maybe I'd put your little Harvard degree right there on the wall. And your degree from Second City. The, you know, whatever they gave you when you graduated. Put that on the wall. And embrace it.
Yeah. They gave him a tattoo.
It's like, have you seen Waterworld?
Yeah.
That's such a good idea.
Have you seen the movie Waterworld?
Give somebody a tattoo when they graduate.
You graduate? Yeah.
I did. I saw Waterworld when it came out.
It's like that.
And similar. Okay. So, all right. So, basically, your idea for fixing our story formula, as it were, is to completely abandon it and possibly abandon the show. We are under contract to an extent.
Also, if you're doing this for a living, you need to prepare for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're going
to
tell a story at your introduction, you might want to work on it a few days in advance and actually act like professionals and put some thought into it and take some pride in it.
Yeah.
I got a lot going on a few days in advance.
The couple days before I do the show are always slammed.
I mean, slammed,
David. And I can't even, I could start going through it, but your head would spin because it's like nutso crazy slammed. So that obviously doesn't work for me.
Also, dental, like just like hygiene, dental care, car maintenance.
Forget
it. These things just like really pile up.
Yeah. There's a rattling sound.
The pool.
And I have to say as well that your taking advice is underestimating, I think, the value we found in keeping an ironic distance and when the show does fail, which is often going, we don't even care.
Yeah, or we did it
We weren't
purpose.
Even trying.
That was on purpose.
If I say I've been working on this for a couple days and then I come out with what I would likely come out with, which is of a similar quality to what we do, that's humiliating for me.
Yeah.
So
I see your point.
So that it's there's some
I think your best bet would be like the person who is the two people who are supposed to host this show just had a car accident and they asked us to do it.
We're stepping it every week.
We've even worked in the entertainment industry. And here we go.
That's interesting. Okay. That could work for me. Do you think that after a couple of weeks, people would start to suspect?
Let's try that.
Let's play the song. Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
So this, do we start now? We start talking now?
Okay. It hasn't been 4 seconds.
Okay.
So.
Hello?
This is the show, I guess.
We're, okay. Jesus. Wow, I wish this was happening under better circumstances. Two men have died in just a horrific crash. We are, of course, well, do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know these people.
No.
But, like, and so I don't feel equipped to memorialize them. I don't know why I'm doing this now.
We can't eulogize them. We have a show to do.
It feels wrong not to.
No, we should say something about them.
Okay.
These men who were supposed to host the show.
Yeah.
I'm sure had families.
Well, I know it was Lou Diamond Phillips and James Caan.
So one of them had
Scott,
their son, famed photographer Scott Caan. Tweeter from Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues. One of the Ocean's 13.
One of those. He liked to blow things up.
And
then Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lean on Me.
Richie Valens.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, we're here. Obviously, we don't have the experience that those men have with the entertainment industry. We are flying blind a little bit. It is last minute. I hope I'm using this microphone right. We have a guest, and just go. and you just
please,
go.
Yeah, what would really help us if you would just
drowning.
Talk. How did you get booked on this? On this show?
Uh-huh. You know, do you want to talk about Lou?
Is that a celebrity to you?
Lou Diamond Phillips?
A star? Jones?
The name is. It's just like, it's a, I know the name.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, I don't know the face really, but it's a celebrity name.
Yeah.
James Caan.
I can picture him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw him in the hallway, I'd say that's James Caan.
Do you want to eulogize him?
He was in Funny Lady, you know, that sequel to Funny Girl.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really powerful.
Now that I didn't expect it.
I'm getting emotional
but
because
he really was in Funny Lady.
It's partially, of course, the stress of hosting a show that I have no familiarity with, but also to hear that he was in Funny Lady.
Can you imagine knowing Barbara Streisand then?
Mm. Mm. And here I go again. Wow. That's hitting me. I can't.
But he could.
Yeah, he didn't even need to. And something's happening for your body.
Do you
body.
Want us to Are take credit okay? for that?
That was my...
is that a good host thing to
we
do?
We don't want
to... You know, I went to dinner last night, and I went to dinner last night.
Yeah.
And it was like stuffing a musket. I ate so much food. And so, yeah, that's just... My stomach growling. I don't feel like I ever need to eat again.
We often think of ourselves as weaponry, as guns, that our words are bullets that we can use to attack unfairness in the world.
I'm a 3D printed machine gun.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a trebuchet.
That was my stomach again.
I'm a mighty trebuchet, and I can only fire once every couple of minutes, but it's one big bomb I let off, a big rock. So,
what kind? And you're a blunderbuss. Is that what you were saying? What kind of gun are you?
Oh, yeah, musket.
Mm.
What kind of gun?
Very
are you?
Very precise,
Engineer Brett.
I'm a thermonuclear warhead.
Wow.
Oh, speak on that. Speak on that.
It's the biggest possible explosion. Can take out half the Earth.
Mm.
You know. In a blink of an eye.
You win.
Yeah. Okay. Because it was a contest, and I guess Brent won.
Hollywood Handbook.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hollywood Handbook.
That feels good. It feels like the standard, like the bar for doing that kind of show where we are replacing two dead men.
Yeah, and the people can change.
Oh, sure.
Where it's like, we got pulled into this again.
Yeah.
Or do we ever reference that we've done it before?
No, I think every time it's a fresh start. Because no one will be coming back from the last one.
That's true.
So every time the audience is new. What, are they going to listen to the show again?
Does that work for you, Kevin?
Don't just give a thumbs up, Kevin.
Hey, guys, Chef Kevin here. That's great. Thanks.
Hey, do you want to hear any clips from my masterclass?
That could be good for David, who's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brett, you were there for it.
I was there.
Is there anything you want to hear particularly? Did you listen to the two clips that Kevin sent us this morning?
No.
And how did I know that you would?
Did not listen.
Kevin, what do you think? You want to
play one clip, and then David can give just a couple of, and then he can do the master's class on the master class.
Can I play a different clip?
Please.
Hollywood Handbook.
Did Kevin pick these clips?
Can I say something about writer's block?
Please.
Does writer's block exist?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of course it does.
But I don't believe in writer's block.
Right.
And I don't think that it does exist. And writer's somebody block. Tells me I have writer's block, I say no such thing. Is it a real thing?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
Mm. Of course.
But do I believe in it?
But do I believe in writer's block?
No. And that's how you beat it, is you don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, bye-bye, man.
Hollywood Handbook.
So
wow, that's near masterclass.
Yeah. So I also was talking about writing.
And really decisively.
Mm. Yes.
Well,
what's your feeling on that? Do you tackle writer's block at all?
You know,
or are you terrified of it?
Tell you the truth. The way you can tell that someone's not a real writer is that they ask you about writer's block. Mm-hmm. No real writer ever asks somebody about writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
It's only people who aren't that talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's a Q&A, like, you know, people only say, like, what are you doing about writer's block? Then, because I don't know anybody.
You say, when they say that, you say, pack your shit.
Pack the fuck up
that's what you kind of want to say.
And I introduce you to the door.
You go, hey, bud, me versus the blank page. Call it.
But I like
how. You can call that fight.
And in your masterclass, how you kind of repeat that to really drive the point in.
We repeat it a lot. I mean, that was one of our tricks to kind of, we had a time requirement
for mandated.
How long
I assume that's true for your masterclass as well.
In order to secure the financial compensation, you had to fill a certain amount of time.
But it didn't feel like that. It just felt like, did you ever read Alan Carr's, I think the easy way to quit
easy
smoking.
Way. I did. Yes. Yeah.
And he kind of repeats stuff over and over again. It kind of almost hypnotizes you by repeating things over and over again, mm-hmm. even though you're reading a book and you're not talking to anybody.
And that's
what you do in your masterclass.
And that's what I did in mine. Yeah. As we repeated it so much that ultimately you did, and you walked away going,
what man? I walked away thinking, oh, what writer's block?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, thank you so much. You honor me. Kevin, we want to play one more clip?
Hollywood Handbook.
This guy in gym
may
be over here.
Just as an overall note,
mm-hmm.
miss me with the bullshit today, okay?
I'm eating during this.
You can just miss me with all the bullshit, man. Okay. Just for today, when we go into the script, which we're going to get to, with the bullshit, miss me with that, please.
Hollywood Handbook.
So that's the repetitive trick that you picked up on before.
What did you eat?
And you know what that says to me? Bullshit. No, thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and that was exactly
tell
right.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Pack your shit. Get out.
Yep. And
please
I didn't want
don't let it hit you where the good Lord split you.
Uh-huh.
It's be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And please go away.
Yeah. So. What did you tend to eat during
scat.
Your classes?
Hey.
What did I
That's another word for poop.
And for leaving.
Tacos. I ate a lot of tacos during
Okay.
Uh-huh.
See, now I did notice that. I told you I watched. I did pick up on it.
And then I said to them, because a lot of stuff was spilling on my
hard tacos.
Yeah, they were hard tacos.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what can we do about this? And you know what they did? They brought me taquitos. They brought me soft taquitos, bite-sized taquitos.
Yeah, and beautiful. I noticed solution. You did at first attempt to smoke them.
No, because I quit smoking. And so I just ate the soft-shell taquitos.
Mm-hmm. And Hayes, would you like to apologize for lying?
Okay.
Because I've actually quit smoking too, and I did read The Easy Way. And what they did in that book that I think is sort of what I've done in my master class as well is a lot of smoking books say, hey, here's why smoking's bad. Easy Way goes, here's why you think smoking's good, and I'm going to take it away.
Yeah.
Here's what you think you like, and I'll take it away. So some people say, here's how you write. I go, here's how you think you don't write. Wow. And now that's gone.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
You moved to Tokyo to quit
here's
smoking.
Why you don't think you write. Because you said, here's why here's you why don't you think. Here's why you think you don't write.
Here's why you don't think you don't write.
Right.
I got to wrap it up. I got to wrap it up, signal
and
over
the
there.
Time is
yes.
wow. winding down. And,
and that's why you bring someone. That's why you bring someone to be a guest. We have so many people who just come alone and it just goes on forever. It's bad for everybody.
So, okay. So thank you so much. We've loved having you. Any parting thoughts? You've fixed the show. Of course, we are now going to pretend that we are fill-in hosts. Anything else you want to say about your experience here or that the listeners should take away with them?
Well, you know what I would say to the listeners? I would say there are a lot of podcasts out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say to the listeners.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things you could listen to, a whole world out there to
sure.
be learned. So don't stick to any one thing.
Yeah.
A plug would probably
explore.
Have been,
that's what I would say to them.
Plug would be a better use of that time, I think, that just like plugging something of your own. But
it's done is done.
Yeah,
we obviously we do not edit the show, so thank you so much, David.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Whoa. Hollywood Handbook.
That was a HeadGum podcast.